Praise you, Jesus. Praise your blood. Good evening on this first day of February of 2026. It's hard to believe that we are here already, but we are. I'm really happy I found that audio clip. That was a worship service that me and my son Brock was in back in 2013 or 2014. I want to say 2013. That was from one of the churches I was going to. That was one of them deep intercession groaning type of services. And I don't even know if people still do this anymore. You know, I've been longing to be able to be a part of something like that again with that groaning. But that's what it was when you heard them wailing in the spirit. It was beautiful to hear my son praying in tongues. That's a beautiful sound to me. And so I just wanted to play that for a little bit tonight to get us ready for what to kind of set the atmosphere for what Pastor is going to preach tonight. I just want to recap on a few things. To kind of bring everybody up to par, because there's, you know, some people that's not been on the prayer calls every day, you know, so they don't know. But before I get into all that, I just want to give you an update on Pastor and I. Here on the farm, we had to upload a sermon last week because they was warning us of this terrible storm coming that would cause us to be to have to go off grid, you know, that the lights would go down. Well, praise God we did, because sure enough it did. We woke up Sunday morning and the lights were off. And I tell you what a time it was. But we made it through, praise God. We had to go. The lights come back on the fifth day. And the thing is Pastor fell and hurt his ribs, if y'all would pray for him. I've been monitoring him and, you know, taking care of him. He fell again yesterday. See, we have so much ice here. We still right now have 2 inches of ice. And it's the only thing that's really melted here is the trees. But we still have what's on the ground is still frozen. We still have, you know, these 0 degree temperatures at night type of deal. And so, you know, we're just trying to make it here. But we can't get the car out of the driveway and probably won't be able to until we get a good warm up. But anyways, if y'all would still pray for us, we would really appreciate it. And Pastor's not serious to where like he'd have to go to the hospital or anything, but it's enough to where he's pretty miserable, you know. So I really just thank the Lord that We have a pastor that, even though he's in pain, you know, he's taking a lot of time to bring us the word today. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. And then we are still in our 40 days fasting. We only have 8 days left after today. It's hard to believe, but we're right here at the end. So I texted everyone today and asked you to, you know, the rest of the time, the 8 days that we have left, let's really press in and at least do intermittent fasting where you just fast during the day but eat in the evenings. Or if you want to do the Daniel fast, you know, there's many different ways you can fast. Or if you have to eat every time, you know, just do water. I mean, just fast something, you know. But let's press in. We've only got 8 days, so let's press on through and, you know, receive the victory on the other side of this. Now, I want to talk to you a minute about what is happening on the world stage. Some very serious things happened this week that I want to address publicly. Now, when I looked at the statistics on my website, I'm pretty shocked at the different countries that are listening to our sermons and stuff and whatnot. I mean, it has went down a lot in numbers just because I quit posting my news up there. But when I mentioned the other day about this one woman that I've been researching that I know is being funded by Russia, all of a sudden now I have Russia's attention. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that before. But anyway, a lot of attention from China and Argentina, Germany, France, Canada, South Korea, you know, so there's people that listen to us from all over the world. And so I like to give these just quick little updates when we gather together on Sunday. But we have President Trump, who officially formed his Board of Peace since we was all last together. And they met at Davos. And it was very disturbing to us as a Christian peoples that our president, that the Christians, in quotes, have partnered with, has formed this alliance with the biggest enemies we have on the earth, which is Muslims. And but he put them on this board of peace, and there's nothing about their religion that's peaceful, nothing. So you can only take that one way. You know, now he's the king of the world. And his goal is to get rid of the United Nations. Well, at the same time, for this board to take over the role of what the United Nations would do. In other words, the government is shifting. And the United Nations come out this week and said they're going bankrupt, you know, which we know is a farce. But the point is, and the only reason that I'm telling you this at church is that the Noahide laws are being set up right in front of us, because we know that when he got in office last year, they wrote a letter and asked him, you know, if he would put the Sanhedrin court over the world. And this is what he's going to end up doing. So the balance of power is shifting, is what I'm trying to tell you. And so things are getting very serious. And the new court system, the tribunals, you know, will be set up. And I believe when they do it, it'll be really fast, you know, type of deal. So on top of what President Trump has done there, we have the Epstein files that have been released, which could topple governments. You know, so the balance of power, not just in the global governance, of like his Board of Peace and the United Nations, that level. But we have the possible immediate takedown of governments, you know, big leaders that are now being you know, indicted in this thing on the Epstein files. But the thing is that it's a prelude to what is coming to the church. Right now it's them, but it will trickle down type of deal. But the reason I'm telling you all this is because of this 40-day fast. There is a theme that God has been doing in our prayer calls, which we meet Monday through Friday, is he has been really speaking to us about if we choose him as our God, you know, that he will take care of us. And also he has clarified the real impact of what Jesus did as the Lamb of God and was slain. And so God is encouraging us that if we will trust in him, that he will carry us through, and that what is judgment for the wicked is the blessing for the church, and how God is going to protect us. Now, Dennis, pastor, has not been able to listen to my sermons. He doesn't even know what I've been preaching, okay? Because he has been, you know, battling a lot with this ribs deal, you know, this pain, and then trying to manage this farm with all these animals and with all the ice and just the, you know, the struggles of all of that. He doesn't know what I've been preaching. So when he told me what he's going to be preaching today, especially after I did the news last night and the day before, and we see this thing, you know, escalating, God is definitely giving us a word fresh from heaven today. The title of it is The Valley of Decision to the Valley of Shittim. And it's not what you think it is. He's got a very unique perspective from God about what this means. And so to me, it's kind of like such a beautiful symphony of the Spirit, because we flow as one, you know, in the church here. We flow in one in spirit. So although he's not been able to be a part of it and everything, we're still in the same vein, if y'all know what I mean, the same vine. So God today is going to solidify, you know, and continue where we're going, so that by the time we finish this 40-day fast, we're going to have a really good foundation and set to go forward. Because like I said, the Antichrist has set up his stage. Basically he set up his throne this week and was signed off on by all the other kings. And then with everything else toppling around, you know, it's pretty imminent for what's about to hit the church. You know, and so these 40 days, you know, God has been preparing us to be ready to give our all and, you know, to love the Lord God with all of our heart and to put him first and to make him our God and to make him our King, you know, and that's the big difference. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to play a very special song that I found from my father, who did sing country music, which is how I ended up in Nashville, how I was born in Nashville, is because him and my mother, they married in Arkansas. My mother's from Arkansas. And when he, you know, got big in country music, they moved us down here, and, you know, of course, he was an alcoholic, but he got saved the 10 years before he died, and he turned it to gospel. So I have a very special gospel song that I would like for you guys to hear that is my father and his brother, and, you know, it's very special to me to be able to share this with you guys. I just found it today. So let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for these 40 days that we have set aside, Lord, to hear from heaven and how you have spoke to us and you have really prepared the way for us and have confirmed time and time again that you are with us in the storm and that you have a plan and a purpose for us and that you are going to bless us in the middle of it all. And we thank you so much, Lord, because we live in a time where fear tries to overtake people, and by us having you, it just fills us with that joy and that hope of knowing that we really do have a God that's watching us and that cares about us and that knows that all the things that are in store in the future. So we just put our faith and trust in you today, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you anoint me today and anoint Pastor, Lord, as we deliver your word through song and through preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me get my father's song up here. Now, it's their bluegrass. So if you don't like it, just, you know, overlook it. But it's a bluegrass gospel type of song. Let me see here. Okay, here we go.
Laying out my treasures in that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven fully done. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
My left is bright,
watching
both day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave this simple world, trusting in the riches of His saving grace. Any deadly trial I His love can trace, sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
I'm
other woman was, but this music was like back in the 1960s, you know, a long time ago. But anyways, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. All right, let's get Pastor on here. Good evening, Pastor. How you doing?
Hanging in there. Fair and partly cloudy.
Right. Well, you got the floor, sir. Hey, how'd you like my dad's song? I just found that a minute ago.
I like it pretty good, yep. It almost kind of goes with parts of it goes with this message.
Oh, well, God is good. Okay, yeah. You got the floor.
All righty. Well, thank you. I guess, first of all, I want to thank everybody for their prayers for us and all that we're doing here on the farm and all June's many, many hours, I must say, of research and study. And you guys, I don't know if you really have a clue of the hours that she puts in. And so I just want to, on behalf of everybody, I want to thank her for that, because I don't know, man, I can't even tell you the hours that she puts in. So, and also she was talking about, you know, the different nations that listen to us, you know, and well, this message is for the nations. That's what I'm just going to say about that. And at the end of it, you'll see why I said that. Okay. And earlier in this week, or was it midweek? I can't remember. I can't even hardly keep track of the days, and I don't even try to. But on her prayer call, I sat in one of them and shared about, we were talking about valleys. You know, there's different dark valleys in Scripture. And there's a bunch of them. And we just touched on a couple of them. You know, Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, there's just many different dark valleys mentioned, you know. And we just got to always remember Philippians 1:29, for unto you is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, we're going to, a lot of people, we are, will suffer through some of these valleys, you know, and there will be lots of troubles. It's the Valley of Anchor, which means trouble. It was so named because sin in the camp of God's people had caused great defeat for their armies there, okay? Boy, we could take that in a lot of ways. I'm just thinking about some things just by reading that a little bit. But anyway, Joshua 7:25-20, sin, you know, willful sin inevitably will result, you know, in a trek through dark veils of trouble and defeat, you know. And then there's the Valley of Baca, our weeping, or should I say lamenting. And we're going to talk about that here right off the bat. You know, but it's, you know, we need in all these messages, it's always about repentance and restitution, you know, which will lead us out of the valleys of, you know, these dark valleys, you might say. But, you know, God's comfort will guide us through, you know, these valleys, you know. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, who passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping or lamenting, you know, from all the sin in the camp, in the nation, in the world, you might say. You know, we go from strength to strength, Psalm 84:5-7. So, anyway, I want to, you know, when I was reading this, and then that evening I was kind of going over it and thinking about it, and I So I looked up, you know, in scripture, you know, where it talks about a lot of different valleys. And I'm not really going to go into all these valleys or anything like that. But there was one that really stuck out at me. And I thought, wow. And I want to share about that. And it's in the book of Joel, okay? And we're going to talk about Joel. Joel's just three chapters. So we're just going to kind of go through Joel. And I want to touch on some of the scriptures in Joel. But there was two valleys in Joel that we're going to touch on more towards the end of this message. And one of the valleys, when I just first read it and stuff, and I thought about it, you know, and everything, and I was thinking, wow, you know. But by the end of my study here, I come to find out that that message is, that valley is not what I thought it was. By a long shot. And it kind of can mean that, what I thought, but really it's not. And so I want to share about that. You know, Joel, you know, I don't know how to say this, but over and over he talks about the day of the Lord is coming. You know, that's the central teaching of this book. The day when the Lord will manifest himself in the destruction of his enemies and the exaltation of his friends or his people, you know. And, you know, the attitude of man's heart and life before the Lord will determine his reaction to that day. Keep that in mind. You know. And, you know, there's a great influence in this book, you know, and it's quoted by Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost, and its promise of the day of the Lord is partially fulfilled by the coming of the Holy Spirit, okay? This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Because the key element is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which did happen at Pentecost, okay? This illustrates what scholars call a manifold or multiple fulfillment of prophecy. You know, there's a bunch of prophecies that have been fulfilled, you know, but they were just partly fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and other parts are yet to be fulfilled, you know, like when Jesus returns on the clouds of glory and in the final day of the Lord. And that day of the Lord, let me tell you what, after reading Joel and some of the references that I had to turn to, it's like it put a whole different meaning to me about the day of the Lord. So, and as in Joel 1, how do I want to say this? Well, I just want to. In Joel 1, it starts out about the locust plague in Judea, okay? And I'm not going to read that, but I want to, you know, here it is. They're going through this plague, you know? And, but I want to jump down to verse 8. It says, lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Lament. That's the word, you know? It's like the weeping, which we just, you know, what I was talking about, you know. And then I want to jump down up to verse 13. And here again, this is Joel's warning and intercession, you know, for this, for these people, you know, that are going through this plague, okay? And it says, gird yourselves and lament. You know, ye priests, how ye ministers of the altar, come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. You know, God ain't, you know, there was so much sin in the camp that that's why the plague come in there, and their offerings God didn't accept. Verse 14, sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. It just makes you think, wow, you know? You know, in the New Testament, we, you know, the true believers are the remnant or are children of God. You know, we are to be the priest. We are to be the ministers, each one of us. You know, we're to minister to our family, our children, our friends. You know, it's not just some priest. That's the way I'm looking at this. Gird yourselves up and lament, ye priest. You know, we see a lot of sin in the camp, you might say. And it's very sad. And what's Joel telling us to do? Lament. And that's kind of why we're fasting. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. That's us, you know. For each of you that have joined us in this fast. Verse 15. Alas. For the day, alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. You know, there's going to be great destruction on the day of the Lord. And a lot of what Joel is talking about through here is what we're going to look into here, okay? You know, Joel's images, you know, his powerful images here and his urgent call for reform reminds us that we too are preoccupied with worldly activities. We are too preoccupied, you might say. That's why we have to keep where we have to really watch where we keep our focus. Amen. Yet Joel's promises of the future blessings, you know, they foreshadow not only the glory days at history's end, but also our present age. And when I was reading through Joel, man, you know, and there is, you know, a lot of nations, you know, and different things, words in here that relate to his time, you know, but also for our time now. And when I was reading it, just, you know, and that's where my focus was, is look what happened back then and in his prophecy, you know, for today. And when I'm reading this, and it's like, wow, you can see more clearly just, you know, what's going on now as what he's teaching back then. It's like, wow, makes you sad to where, like, what, like he says here, lament, you know, plea, you know, cry out to the Lord. You know, the spirit of Joel predicts will be poured out as has come on Christ Church and the wonder of God's living presence within us, you know. And this is realized for all those who what? Trust in Christ, you know. We have to put our trust more and more every day, you know, because Joel's message rings true in every time of prosperity when God's people are tempted to give superficial alliance to the Lord rather than the total commitment, you know, His majesty requires, you know. And I think we talked about that word majesty, you know, was the last couple weeks ago, you know, I mean. And it's just a powerful word. It's used all throughout the scripture to give description of the Lord, you know. But key themes in Joel is true repentance. You know, what is the true repentance and true revival? You know, it's only possible when the God's Spirit acts in the hearts of His people, as He will, you know, as the world comes to an end, you might say. And we're going to touch on them scriptures. Again, you know, in Joel 1, well, let me, if you went, again, like when I was saying, you know, when you jump over to different parts of the Bible, you know, that say for the day of the Lord, especially the book of Zephaniah, over and over, for the day of the Lord, 1:7 is at hand. The great day of the Lord is near. Even the voice of the Lord. In the day of the Lord's wrath. If you turn over, I'm not going to turn there and you don't have to, but read the book of Zephaniah. And it just goes right along with Joel. And it's like, wow. Wow. There's going to be a lot happening on the day of the Lord. Again, and you know, Joel addresses his words, you know, not only to the leaders, like I was saying, but also to all who live in the land. You know, we can't shift responsibility for, just to our leaders. You know, it's everybody, because this message is to all the nations of the world. You know, it's to everybody. In chapter 2, let's see. Yeah, I think we're just going to think here. Well, we're just going to start with chapter 2 and read. And see if I can, well, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall any more after it, even to the years of many generations. And when I thought, wow, who's this great people? You know, and it's kind of, you know, how do I want to say it? It's like the locust, you know, in chapter 1. You know, the plague, the swarm of locusts, and here a great people, you know, and you might say possibly a foreign army. you know, and if you would have to read more about, you know, and I didn't go there. Well, we may read down here. But just think of an invasion, a military force invading. Here it says Judah. But if you look up Judah, you know, and they talk about inheritance and stuff like that. I don't even know if I can really, you know, I looked up Judah and was reading about it. And, you know, it goes back to the, you know, inheritance of Jacob, if I'm not mistaken, acting, you know, and so Judah is acting as God's instrument of judgment. You know, it's an end time army, you might say, invasion. And when I was reading this, you know, I'm thinking about today, and I think those that have listening to June and her global news, and some people out there who are, if you say, prophesizing, you know, there's something coming to America, and it's not good. There's more chatter about it on the, you know, the news, the internet, whatever, about America getting invaded. And here we are. You know, and Joel, and it's almost like he's, you know, this is a prediction or prophecy, you might say. You know, the destruction power, like, you know, locusts that turn green lands into desolation, consuming everything. You know, when a swarm of locusts goes through, man, it consumes everything. And it, what does it do? It leaves everything desolate. You know, you might say this is divine judgment. You know, God allowed this locust plague, just like he could allow this great people that we're going to talk about here. I'm going to read. You know, this is divine judgment. This signifies that the terrible, the terrifying day of the Lord, a time of universal judgment, you know, destruction from which there is no escape. In essence, the great people are a metaphor for overcoming divine judgment, symbolized on both locust and invading armies, signifying a moment when God brings overwhelming force upon his people for their sins. And that's what this is, you know. And so what is Joel doing here? He's calling repentance and fasting. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain, that all the habitations of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people, a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So this is coming. A fire devoured them, and behind them a flame burneth, and the land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Wow. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and of horsemen, so they shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on tops of mountains, shall they leap like a noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. There's no stopping this. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness, or should we say sorrow. Woo! They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways. and they shall not break their ranks. You know, there's no stopping this. Nothing's going to break this, the ranks of these great people that the Lord, you know, is allowing. It's, you know, judgment. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. And I thought about that, you know, I thought, wow. It almost sounds like, I mean, these are mighty men, it says. You know, great people, strong. You know, I know there's different things out there about the giants, that there's going to be, you know, there's still giants in the earth, and that they may be released, and there's no stopping them. Is this part of the judgment, the great people, the strong? Just saying, I don't know. I just come up in my spirit when I was reading that. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall and shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. You know, people aren't even going to know it. It's going to come so fast. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. It's going to be a dark day. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. This is the army of the Lord. He's, you know, good, bad, or whatever. This is God's army. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Who's going to be able to stand strong with that against God's army? I don't think so. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me in all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Verse 13, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. You know, and I was reading this, I'm like, it says, and rend your heart. And what does that word rend mean? It means to pull apart violently. You know? And I just think of, you know, sanctify, you know. You know, let's go on. Verse 14. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Here again, the trumpet is blowing. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. And here again, let the priest and the ministers of the altar, let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heart, thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You know, weep. You know, it's a call to repentance. And then that word here, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not their heritage to reproach. You know? That word means to blame or disgrace. You know? Give not thy heritage to, you know, to disgrace, that the heathen should rule over them. You know, what is, you know, we want the children of God, his heritage that he's left for us, you know, through the, you know, the prophets of old, you might say, or people of old. Okay, I want to jump down. Now I guess I want to go back to that verse 13. I got a note here. I want to, you know, where it says, rend your heart and not your garments. You know, that's God's, and turn unto the Lord your God. That's God's invitation, you know. He's inviting us, hey, repent, turn back, rend your heart. And then this going back up to verse 17 where, you know, the priest, you know, as God's ministers are instructed to lead this intercession, standing in a visible place, you know. He's saying, you know, weep between the porch and the altar, you know, stand, you know, visibly to model deep sorrow and appeal for mercy. You know, Joel is lamenting. You know, he's saying, spare thy people, O Lord. And why? So that other nations won't mock God's people or question his presence. And, you know, when I'm thinking about this here, you know, and so much mockery of the Lord today. Just, it's unreal. You know, we're listening to so much out there and it's just a mockery. If you guys know what I mean. You know, in essence, Joel 2:17, you know, it's a powerful call again for authentic public and corporate repentance led by spiritual leaders, driven by desire to see God's name honored and his people spared from judgment. Because that's the day of the Lord, judgment. And it's not going to be good. You know, you know, repentance isn't saying you're sorry. You know, and that's why he says, rend your heart. You know, it's a matter of the heart rather than of words or even actions. If our heart truly is broken by our sin and we yearn to return back to the Lord, you know, then a change of life will follow, you know. And it all must begin in the heart. Let's go down to verse 28, we're in Joel chapter 2. And this is the outpouring of God's Spirit. And this, again, goes back to, you know, Acts. You know, God's Spirit. Oh, here, let's just read it. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, will I pour out my Spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You know, God's Spirit becomes freely available to everybody. You know, your sons, your daughters, all who call upon the Lord. You know, it's not a select few leaders, you know, like in the Old Testament they had. You know, regardless of your age, your sex, your social status, it doesn't matter. All will call upon the Lord, who call upon the Lord. Amen. You know, and Acts, this is the, you know, Joel's prophecy that is fulfilled in Acts 2, 16 through 21. And I was going to go there and read that, but just make note of that. Go there and read that. And in Galatians 3, 28, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Read those scriptures, and that's all in reference to what this verse says, these verses right here, verses 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. And I like this one. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, you know, just put your name there. Are you part of the whosoever that shall call on the name of the Lord and shall be delivered? This is, you know, powerful stuff. You just gotta let's go down to verse 3. Excuse me, chapter 3. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And verse 3, and they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. You know? Wow. Yea. And what have ye to do with me, O Tyria and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense, you know, a reward or payback? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my godly pleasant things, his precious things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that they might remove them far from your border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your head. Ooh. That's not good. You know, they sold their children to the Grecians. And the Grecians took them away. But they'll pay for it. Verse 8, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them into the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your prune horns into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. You know. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together round about. Hither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. This valley of Jehoshaphat. Let's just read down here a little bit. Put ye in a sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Again, what's it say? Multitudes. You know, the valley of decision often is referred to as the valley of Jehoshaphat, as the verses up above, which means Yahweh judges. It's the valley of judgment. You know, this is interpreted as a symbolic or a literal place where God would judge the nations for their actions, you know, and particularly for their treatment of his people. It is called this because the verdict and the judgment, the decision, will be rendered there. This valley of decision is where God decides your fate, you might say. It's the valley of judgment. This day of the Lord, you know, to a time of reckoning, not just a 24-hour day. It is a moment of divine intervention, judgment on sin, and the vindication of God's people. Ooh, it's going to be quite the day. And like it says, you know, multitudes of people. You know, that highlights the overwhelming number of people from all nations who will face judgment. You know, ain't that sad? The multitudes. This is an urgent call of the nearness, the certainty, and the finality of this event. You know, it serves as a call to be ready for the end time events. Amen. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Wow. You know, it's going to be a day of doom for the wicked. You know, but for us, it's a day of refuge, and it's a stronghold for his people, you know, during this time. That's why we have to what? Trust in the Lord. I think over and over the past, I don't know how many weeks, we keep just iterating that trust in the Lord. We got to really put our trust in the Lord, don't we? So shall ye know, verse 17, that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Wow. To me, that's the final day of judgment, because it says, you know, then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. This valley of decision, you know, this valley of judgment is your last chance. You know, you might say that this valley of decision could be translated the valley of the condemned or the valley of verdict, because in context it is one of retribution, a deserved punishment, return for evil done, or sometimes for good done. You know, it's the valley of judgment. Valley, well, let's keep reading here. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down like drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And the fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. So here we got the valley of Shittim. Okay. And, you know, it describes the future heir of immense blessing and restoration, where the spring from the Lord's temple brings life to the valley of Shittim, transforming it from a dry, barren place, which is symbolized by the acacia trees, into a fertile landscape. And those trees, they grow in the desert, signifying that God's grace will reach even the most desolate parts of the world, bringing spiritual renew, abundant provision, like new wine from the mountains and milk from the hills. Hallelujah. And eternal life. Praise God. The imagery contrasts God's judgment with the ultimate overflowing blessings flowing from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Let's read further down here once. 19. There's only two more verses. Egypt shall be desolation. Shall be a desolation. Egypt. You know, let's go back to Egypt. And Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. You know, the children of Judah, that's, you know, going back, that's like the, how do you say, the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, going back to, like, said in that one other verse, many generations. And even generations in the future, it's the, what's the word I want to use? Inheritance, you know, your inheritance that the Lord has for us. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. See, this valley of Shittim, you know, is where these trees grow in the desert regions, making the valley naturally barren, symbolizing the transforming water from the temple of God, you know, which brings life to this dry, desolate place, signifying that God's blessing will revitalize the spiritually barren or hostile world. And boy, that we're living in now. Whew. You know, it shows God's mighty power to transform desolation into delight and judgment into abundant life, fulfilling the promise of restoration after judgment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in this scenario that is portrayed in Joel 3 is that all nations have been gathered for the final battle against God, and they will receive judgment. But the judgment is taken by Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Instruments for tilling the soil and plowing the rough soil are turned into swords. You know, Joel verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Instruments for tilling the soil or plowing the rough soil are turned into swords. The sword of God's word, the word of God. And we are made strong in the Lord. Amen. That's why we have to be in the word. More word, more power. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for the valleys in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that they symbolize the trials and the testings in our life, Lord. And so we just thank you as we go through the valleys of, you know, each one of us, our lives, that you are with us, Lord. Amen. And so we just thank you, Lord. And we praise you, Lord. And so, Lord, I just want to read Psalm 23, because the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restoreth each of our souls. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff comfort us. Thou preparest a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow each one of us here today, all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And can I get an amen? Amen. You know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And that means pursue us as we pursue the Lord and we seek the Lord with all our heart. You know, this is awesome. So we just thank you, Lord, for this, for your word today, Lord, that it will give us strength to overcome the adversary of our life. Lord, I pray for each person here today, Lord, that they would be blessed, Lord. And even though we can see before us and behind us, you know, all the valleys, you know, all them dark valleys, Lord, that could, and some of us are going through dark valleys now, right now, Lord. And so we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that you will get us through those dark valleys. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's just it. We have to stand on your word, Lord, and walk through them valleys and not hang out in them. So we just praise you, Lord. And I ask that you would bless each person with your spirit, Lord, to guide them and lead them through those valleys. Comfort them as they get through them valleys, Lord. It'll be a testament of your awesomeness and your grace, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess is Lord. Hallelujah. Every tongue. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Well, now, Pastor, what you don't know is the other day I preached this sermon. I think it was Friday, and it was called We Are in the Valley. We're in the desert. We're just like where the children of Israel were.
Right.
And your word is just confirming what God spoke to us last week, is that the judgment is here. And we're going to see terrible things, you know. But to the church, we're going to be blessed beyond measure. It's kind of, this is where, you know, my wisdom to the church is to be just very careful with your blessings, you know. Right. Because of people get very angry when they're hurting. Right. They see that you are blessed and you have something they don't. Instead of them looking at their self and seeing why they don't have it, they just get mad you have it. So just, you know, have wise, you know, have wisdom when you receive whatever the overabundance of blessings, you know, that God has for you. And talking about that, Carla is, yes, the wilderness, Carla, is reminding us to not forget to give an offering tonight. That is true. While you're in the valley, give an offering. Give unto the Lord tonight, and He will take care of you, bride. He's going to take care of us. So,
you know, Pastor,
when
you read Joel, and I don't know about other people, but, you know, my Bible has so many references, you know, throughout the Bible, you know, New Testament, Old Testament, to his, you know, message here. And his message is all through the Bible. You know, just look up all the scriptures where it talks about the day of the Lord, you know, the day of the Lord's wrath, or the day of the Lord's blessings, or the day of the Lord this or that. I mean, it's all through scripture. You know,
yeah, now let me tell you, I interviewed a guy. Now, he was about in his 40s at the time I interviewed him. This was 10 years ago. And he had a vision when he was 16 years old about the day of the Lord. And he said, it's nothing like the way you would think, because you think, you know, the rapture and how excited you are that he comes back, but it's not that way at all. He said people were reaching up and pulling their skin off their face. Snatching at teeth is not even the word for it, because of the angry and the realization that they missed their timing. They let time get away from them. And so weeping and gnashing of teeth is not even the word for it. You know,
Let me read a scripture, and this is in Amos chapter 5. Okay, and Amos chapter 5 is, it's a call to repentance, you know, and seek the Lord, and ye shall live, okay? It's about the same as Joel's message, and I want to go down. Oh, boy, I don't know where to start here, but I guess I'm just going to read this one scripture. You have to read all of it to get the real context of it, but here's just verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. And to what is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light.
Wow, that's in the Bible?
Right there, Amos chapter 5, verse 18.
I'm going to have to look it up. That is crazy.
You know, and let's read down. As if a man did flee from the lion and a bear met him. You can't escape the Lord. Or
right.
Went to the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. You know, all these
false
and all these fake people, whatever. Yeah. I mean, there's just scriptures like this all over. You know, and,
right.
And when I read this, you know, because I dwell, you know, I get real quiet, you know, my quiet time with the Lord a lot and just think about, you know, when he's coming back and being with him and all that, you know, and how great it's going to be and in his glory light and everything. But when I read this, I thought, ooh, I got to watch what I do and how I meditate on, you know, the day of the Lord. And not necessarily I was meditating on the day of the Lord, but I was just more or less meditating about being in his presence.
Yeah.
Filled with his glory and his light and his love, you know, his glory, light of love. And, you know, that's where I try and focus myself. But when I read that, it made me, you know, wow, I had to ponder that one a little bit.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of scriptures that, you know.
Well, another thing that I took from your sermon today is that we're at this point in time, you know, where the judgment is here.
Right.
And, you know, we need to be ready to go to the next level type of deal. And that's what I believe God was saying last week as well, you know, is, and plus with this 40-day fast, I believe that God is preparing us for this, because I really don't think in our minds we can really fathom what's coming. You
right.
know,
no
we,
doubt.
Seen the warning movies and videos, but really it's not, it's going to be worse than that probably, you know.
Yeah.
But God is really, he's really letting us know that, you know, he will take us through this, but we have, and you know, another thing that was so awesome, Pastor, about that sermon on Friday about how we're in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that ever since 2020 started and this great reset began, you know how many people that we have prayed with just since me and you've been married the past 3.5 years, all the people we've prayed with that are lonely, that they feel like they're in a wilderness, they're by themselves, they're so rejected.
Right. Yeah.
That's why we're off in this wilderness. See, we have left Egypt.
Right.
And this is where the battle is, and this is why we feel this growling at the door, this raging of the enemy, and it is increasing as far as their plots and plans, you know, to come after us with all these new pandemics on the horizon and, you know, just so much happening in the world right now. But the good thing is, you know, is that God is reassuring us that he has prepared us, guys, for such a time as this. And he's going to be God. He's going to show us that he is God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let me let you off here, Pastor, because I know you've been sitting there too long with your ribs and everything. I just want to thank you for delivering this message to us. And to all of you guys that are on the line, if y'all need prayer or anything, I'm going to open up the prayer line. So let me pray for everybody as a whole. Lord, we just thank you so much for the word that came forth tonight, God. I just thank you that you are reassuring us that even if there is the 3 days of darkness, and even if there is, you know, these terrible judgments and our country, the wars and all that, that you have prepared us, Lord, and you are going to be with us. You've already went before us and have prepared the way. And we just thank you, Lord, for reassuring us again tonight about the judgment and the valleys and how to trust in you, Lord. And tonight, all of us, Lord, we repent before the throne tonight, Lord, and we pray that you would forgive us for all of our sins up to this point, Lord, and that you would highlight in our heart, Lord, areas that we need to change and to better for what is coming, Lord. So, Lord, we pray over Pastor, all of us in unity tonight, Lord, that you heal him of his ribs, Lord. Heal his body, heal his back, Lord. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord, we just pray that you heal him. And Lord, for any of the bride that's listening from anywhere in the world, Lord, whatever needs they have, God, we thank you that you're the need provider, that you are our healer. And we just thank you and give you praise that we can all come to you and have a God that is very much alive. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.